Hello, and thank you for joining us for episode 6 in the Kind Stop the Bad podcast series. I'm Melanie Hayes, Chief Marketing Officer at Kind, and I'm joined by Kind's Ben Duffy and our very special guest, William Wright from Paragon, who are industry-leading specialist insurance brokers and specialise in cyber insurance. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi there.
So today's podcast is looking at cyber risk management versus cyber insurance, and discussing whether one is better than the other. Now, guys, with this topic, I feel the intro music maybe should have been the Rocky theme tune, as we have Ben, an expert on cyber risk management in one corner, and William, an expert on helping clients with cyber insurance on the other. Clearly metaphorical corners, as we're all working remotely at the moment, and I can't say who's Rocky just yet. So to get us started, I think all of us can agree that cyber risks are one of the biggest threats currently facing organisations, and the costs are rising significantly. So perhaps I can start with you, Ben, and cyber risk management. Why do you think businesses need it now and more than ever before?
Well, for a number of reasons. Firstly, you can't get away from it. We live in a digitally dependent world, whether we want to or not. And this has been particularly demonstrated during the COVID pandemic. We've, of course, seen cyber risks are accelerating at an unprecedented pace. You only actually have to look at recent stats. Up to 88% of UK companies have suffered breaches in the last 12 months. Every 19 seconds, a small business is hacked in the UK, with 65,000 attempts to hack small to medium businesses occurring every day. Significantly, around 4,500 of these are actually successful, and half of the cyber attacks in the UK involve phishing. So it's clear to see there's a problem, and despite security investments, businesses of all sizes across every sector continue to suffer major service failures, breaches, business interruption, reputational damage due to these cyber attacks. Underpinning that trend, interestingly, is a tendency for organizations to just meet the minimum security compliance requirements. So, you know, when you place that in an ever-evolving threat landscape, produces high inefficiencies and inabilities for organizations to act on the most critical exposures they face. Everyone's involvement is now required. Business owners, boards of directors, executive management teams, all now must visualize the organizational cyber risk posture, and then looking forward, the initiatives around risk mitigation. You wouldn't leave your windows and the back door of your house open for burglars. Why would you do it with your business?
No, you're absolutely right, Ben. You wouldn't. Thank you for that. And now over to the cyber insurance corner. We know cyber insurance is really important, but actually I've read a recent report from Hiscox that only 13% of SMEs have cyber insurance in place. In your experience, William, have you heard clients say they don't need cyber insurance because they already have sufficient cyber risk management in place? And also, why would you say cyber insurance is important?
I mean, that's a really scary statistic, isn't it, from Hiscox? And yeah, of course, we've heard many clients say that over the years. And I think the key distinguishing factor between those that say it and do something about it and those that don't is often to do with budget and just prioritization of cyber risk management versus insurance spend. And obviously with SME organizations, insurance probably isn't the first thing on their Christmas wish list, whereas getting their house in order probably is. So you've got a natural tendency for smaller companies to come to the insurance market later. And then you have a natural tendency for larger organizations to lean more heavily on cyber insurance to support their risk management philosophy. I thought a really interesting statistic that Ben just shared was that 50% of cyber attacks come from phishing. And that's just human error. That's just people, human interaction with their computer systems, clicking the wrong link, creating a cyber threat for their company or for their own identity. And if you take that and you supplant it with 40% of all insurance claims at the moment are coming from ransomware, you can draw a natural link between the two. And ransomware is obviously prevalent. The losses pertaining to it are stark, severe, fast to occur, complicated, and require the treatment of experienced cyber incident response service providers, forensic IT teams, PR consultancy businesses to help the affected company manage the way that the event is seen to the outside world. So if you take a step back to where this section here just started, you've got SMEs with lots of people potentially clicking lots of links that are creating ransomware events that could completely destroy their business overnight. So if that was the landscape, why wouldn't you want to have a product in addition to your cybersecurity products, which obviously aren't necessarily working? Otherwise, there wouldn't be 50% of losses coming from phishing and 40% coming from ransomware. There would be no percent if those security tools worked perfectly. So knowing that you've got that human error potential, why wouldn't you want cyber insurance to support that when you think of what cyber insurance provides, which is essentially an incident response playbook, a connection to all sorts of highly specialized vendors who can essentially handle the event for the client, get them out of jail, fix the systems, pay the ransom if they have to, or give substantiation as to why they shouldn't, provide PR consultancy services, business interruption revenue review services that are relevant to the insurance market, who are ultimately going to pay business interruption losses for your client. I mean, these are all services that basically aren't provided by other insurance policies, and provide a high level of specialization in terms of the vendor support that the insurance product provides. So it's not just an insurance product that costs me some money that I'm never going to use. It's something that if you ever do need to use it, you're going to probably use almost every facet of that product. And so to me, it does seem bananas that risk management could ever be seen as the only tool for mitigating cyber threats. It has to be put alongside something like a cyber insurance product, which can respond to the event as well as the risk management, which can mitigate it.
Thanks, William. That's a very strong case indeed for cyber insurance in the blue corner. And it's interesting, isn't it? I've heard say that one of the biggest risks is what you've just mentioned, human fallibility, or as someone technically put it, the squishy people breathing in your office. You just can't do anything about that. It's going to happen. So with that strong case for cyber insurance, perhaps I could go over to you, Ben, and ask a similar question. Have you heard people say they don't need cyber risk management as it will be covered by their cyber insurance? And if you have heard that, what would you say to it?
Yes, is the short answer. I have heard that. And my response is that one does not replace the other. Risk ownership cannot be fully transferred. And cyber insurance is a component of a broader risk management strategy that includes identifying, mitigating, and monitoring exposure. We're seeing here at Kind a hardening in the market, really. In many regards, a cyber attack becomes a cyber insurance claim dependent on the risk management framework in place. Higher absence of security strategy yields higher claims and so on. A sensible way that I tend to think about it is pre and post an event. Pre an event, has there been the necessary steps to adequately reduce susceptibility to cybercrime, i.e. risk management and security protocol? And during and post an event, is there the capability to manage the incident? Is there the access to in-depth technical assistance? And is there the financial protection to aid with legal and regulatory actions? All of which, of course, speak to the insurance policy and all been highlighted there by William. But the policy on its own is not enough. A final point, although cyber insurance is growing, cyber criminals are aware of this. Where there is insurance, there's opportunity. So as well as assessing how easy it is to administer a cyber attack, for example, inadequate security measures, cyber criminals take note of whether the target business has cyber insurance in place and adjust their ransom to suit in the hope of an easy payout. The harsh reality, and I suspect, and correct me if I'm wrong here, William, is that companies are opting to pay the ransom. Their desire to get the systems back up and running, reducing interruption, of course, rather than deal with the time and expense of restoring data, even when the data exists, is fueling that decision making. So I think for me, that further compelling evidence really does support the fact that both risk management and cyber insurance are intrinsically linked.
Wonderful. Thanks, Ben. And William, Ben just mentioned about cyber risk management and insurance being linked. What do you think? Is this the case for you? Do you agree?
Absolutely. I do agree. We've been saying for years that risk management involves multiple facets, and one of those elements is insurance, and it couldn't be more relevant with cyber. I think if you rewind the clock 10 years or so, the appetite for clients to buy cyber insurance was driven by privacy regulation in places like America. And the thought of having a data breach in the UK was probably quite a slim bet. And so only now, fast forwarding on from GDPR, which came into force a few years ago, where there is definitely a footprint for clients to be pinged by the ICO. And we've seen that obviously with British Airways and the EasyJet matters that were in the press earlier in the year. So regulation has happened that impacts our businesses here in the UK. Ransomware, I mean, I don't think anybody 10 years ago imagined that the extortion element of a cyber policy was going to be the most used claim vertical in 2020, but it is. Rewind the clock a couple of years to WannaCry and NotPetya. That was ransomware driven as well, but it also wiperware driven. So this idea that even if you didn't have any data that was useful, saleable on the dark web, that you could still have your operational system data deleted by some kind of malware. And straight away, wiperware, ransomware, privacy litigation, phishing. These are all things that when cyber policies trying to sell themselves 10 years ago and put themselves alongside the virtues of risk management, made it very difficult to explain the relevance and the importance of a cyber insurance policy to a UK customer. That is now completely different because all UK businesses will no doubt be deploying some form of risk management and mitigation protocols. And yet we still have these outrageous claim scenarios happening constantly. And if we just run through a couple of pretty straightforward examples, business email compromise and ransomware, we'll take those two. So business email compromise, straightforward malware packet finds its way probably through a phishing link into a business's network. And over a period of maybe a month, that strand finds its way into 25 inboxes. And those 25 inboxes have the data of, let's say, 100,000 other companies or people kicking around amongst them. So even if that data was never exfiltrated, there has been a privacy issue. There has been the potential for that data to be exfiltrated. That now needs to be investigated. It probably needs to be notified to the ICO. An incident response forensics investigator will need to be hired. A PR consultant might need to be hired. A legal consultant will need to be hired. And there may well never be any third-party claim. But that fairly straightforward incident, that original phishing email that then found its way inside, laterally moving inside a network, that might cost £150,000 to sort out. And that can happen to a very well risk-managed organization because, like as you said, Melanie, human fallibility cannot necessarily be outdone by risk management, at least not all the time. So that's one example. And all of those elements that I just described are covered by a cyber insurance policy. So not only are they going to handle the incident for you, they're going to connect you to all of those providers, and then they're going to indemnify you or pay on your behalf to those providers to resolve the issue. And then you go to ransomware. And let's say we're talking NotPetya ransomware, so there's actually no data exfiltration, which is probably far scarier in the current environment, but no data has been exfiltrated. Your systems have been compromised in some way, shape, or form. You need them online to be able to generate revenue and to run as a business. What do you do? Do you pay the ransom or not? You know, Capcom got hit with a ransomware demand, I think last week or this week, and it was all over the press about how wonderful it was that Capcom didn't pay the ransom. Well, the reality is Capcom's a Japanese company, and in Japan, it is illegal to pay ransoms. So it's not, well done, Capcom, you didn't pay the ransom. It's that they didn't have to. But in our country, it is legal to pay ransoms, provided they're not on some kind of sanctions list. So that all needs to be worked through and carefully managed and monitored by somebody who knows what they're doing, who've got the right credentials, the right experience. And again, a cyber insurance policy is going to partner a client in the heat of battle with those providers. So yeah, that is cyber risk management, isn't it? Making sure that you're dealing with it. It's not just about insurance. It's about that risk management, incident response, risk transfer. So I absolutely believe that the two go hand in hand.
Excellent. Thank you for that, William. And there's some really good examples in there. But if we go back, if we go to Ben now and go back to our original question, cyber risk v. cyber insurance, and I'll do my ding, ding, ding noise. After our discussion, what would your answer be?
Well, because I'm with Kind, of course, I'm going to say cyber risk management, of course. No, I'm joking. Genuinely, I would say to anyone, you need both. In fact, through our Kind Broker program and our increasing work with underwriters and insurers, Kind now has an extensive overview of the challenges around selling cyber insurance in the first place, the interlock that we're discussing today of risk management and cyber policies, and importantly, the types of risks and concerns insureds face, which actually in turn shapes our products and our sprints forward. For example, at the beginning of the year, there was a huge increase in the number of ransomware attacks businesses were experiencing, which were made worse by not actually paying the ransom, And the data then being leaked, leading to fines imposed by the ICO and all of that. At that point, we flagged ransomware risks in the Kind dashboard. But after speaking with insurers and brokers who wanted to help the insureds see any potential ransomware risks easily and simply, we added a specific ransomware feature into the Kind dashboard. So our growth, in essence, and our evolution in Kind's risk management is very closely at the minute tied to the growth of the cyber insurance market. For us, it's about building risk management ecosystems where real value is added to the insured party alongside the cover.
That's great, Ben. And I love the fact that you said yes to cyber risk management, even though in the next breath it's saying that you need both of them. If I can go over to you, William, and say cyber risk management versus cyber insurance, what would you say?
I would say you need both. I'd say it starts with cyber risk management and it finishes with cyber insurance. I think it has to be that way around. Understand your house, keep it in order, and then once you think that you've tidied it sufficiently, then you go and buy your insurance product. You know, people use the analogy of burglar alarms. You know, just because you've got a burglar alarm, you certainly don't leave your doors unlocked. You make sure that everything's nice and secure, but you still buy insurance. And insurers don't always these days require you to have your burglar alarm on when you're not in the house. And that's an evolution of home insurance coverage. I think the same thing is happening in cyber insurance. I think we probably looked to risk assessments and security assessments back in the day as a sort of a binary. This account should get insurance. They're really good at managing their risk. Whereas I think these days we've got enough data to be able to make probably more nuanced decisions. So yes, risk management is where it begins. And cyber insurance absolutely has a role to play within risk management. And so I think you need both.
Excellent. Thank you, William. Okay, well, our time's coming to an end. To wrap up, I think it's probably fair to say that perhaps there is no clear winner in this fight. And our final result is that cyber risk management and cyber insurance should work together. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you both. And thank you so much for sharing your insights on this topic. If anyone would like more information on managing their cyber risks, please contact us at hello@kind.io and we'd be more than happy to help. Once again, thanks Ben and William and to our listeners, and I look forward to welcoming you to the next Kind podcast, which is coming soon. Bye guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks again.